discharged from the military, he sat in his backyard watching jets fly overhead, and he wondered how he could end up in the air like that someday. And so he hatched his plan, his weather balloon scheme, while he was sitting outside in his Sears lawn chair. He purchased 45 weather balloons from the Army-Navy surplus store and tied them to his tethered lawn chair, dubbed the Inspiration 1, and filled the 4-foot diameter balloons with helium. Then he strapped himself into his lawn chair with some sandwiches, some Miller Lite, and a pellet gun. He thought he would eventually pop a few of the balloons when it was time to come down from his expected ascent of around 30 feet. And so his plan was to sever the anchor and then just lazily float to a height of about 30 feet above his backyard, where he would enjoy a few hours of flight before coming back down. His dream of flying was going to happen. Oh, it was going to happen. Things didn't quite work out as Larry Walters planned when his friends cut the cord, anchoring the lawn chair to his Jeep. He did not lazily float up to 30 feet. Instead, he streaked into the Los Angeles skies, a shot from a cannon, pulled by the lift of 45 helium balloons, each holding 33 cubic feet of helium. And he didn't level off at 100 feet or even 1,000 feet. He eventually leveled off at 16,000 feet. At that height, he felt he couldn't risk shooting any of the balloons. I don't know if he drank the beer at any point. He probably thought about it. But at that point, he felt like he couldn't risk shooting any of the balloons because he might unbalance the load. So he just stayed there, drifting, cold, and frightened with his sandwiches. And he was there for 14 hours. He crossed the primary approach corridor of the Los Angeles International Airport, where Trans World Airlines and Delta Airlines pilots radioed strange reports of a sighting of a man in a lawn chair in the skies. And, of course, the towers are not believing them. Nearly every communique from above that went to the towers began something like this: "You're not going to believe this, but..." Well, eventually he gathered the nerve to shoot a few of the balloons and slowly descended. The hanging tethers became tangled in a power line, blacking out a Long Beach neighborhood for 20 minutes. When he was eventually brought to safety, the LAPD was waiting for him with an arrest warrant for something. They couldn't figure out what it was going to be for, but it was for something. And even the FAA, they were there. They were not amused. Safety Inspector Neil Savoy said, "We know he broke some part of the Federal Aviation Act, and as soon as we decide which part it is, a charge will be filed." But as he was led away in handcuffs, a reporter that was dispatched to cover the daring rescue asked him why he had done it. And this is why I'm telling you this story. He said this. He said, "A man can't just sit around. A man can't just sit there. I want you to think about Peter in the boat here. And maybe say a little bit about risk-taking as a Christian." Because Larry Walters was right. You can't just sit there. Maybe some of you are just kind of sitting there. You can't just sit there. We must have challenge. We must have risk. We must have adventure. Just be careful the kind of adventure that you choose. And don't end up in a lawn chair in the backyard, eventually up at 16,000 feet. So I want you to think of a few things here from the story of Peter getting out of the boat. Number one, whatever it is that you want to do, it might be adventurous, it might be risky, it might be challenging, whatever it is, make sure you get a yes from the Lord. Make sure you get a yes from the Lord. Once the disciples see the figure that's walking to them on the water, and they hear this figure say, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid," they know that it's Jesus, and Peter gets an idea. He sees him walking on the water, and he says, "I'd like to do that. I don't know that I would be thinking that. I like it right here where I am inside this boat." Even though there's a storm and there's water spilling into the boat too, but that's another thing altogether. But Peter sees Jesus walking on the water and he says, "I want to walk on the water. I want to do that." So what does he do? Does he get out of the boat right away and start walking to Jesus? No. He says, "Lord, if it's really you, ask me to come to you on the water." What did Jesus say? No, no, Peter, I can walk on the water, but it's just too dangerous. It's too risky. Plus, you might end up making a fool of yourself. You just stay put where you are. No, the Lord does say one word. He says, come. He invited him to take the risk. He invited him to accept the challenge. He invited him to step out in faith. He got a yes. Make sure that whatever it is that you're seeking to do, that you have a yes from the Lord. Make sure you have the Lord's mind and you know you're in the Lord's will. Number two, once you have a yes from the Lord, get out of your boat. Get out of your boat. That's the hard part, right? So Peter got out of the boat, the text says, and walked on the water and came to Jesus. He did it. He was able to do it because he had a yes from the Lord. If you have a yes from the Lord, the one who calls you will enable you to do what it is that's set before you to do. So take the risk and step out in faith. It might be telling a person about Christ, and you're just hesitant. You're tentative. Do you need a yes from the Lord? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature there. Tell that person about Christ. Invite that person to a meeting. Give that money to help that person. Agree to take that Sunday school class and help those kids. Guys, get up and pray in the meeting. Take the risk. Step out in faith when you know that the Lord says yes. Get out of the boat. What's the boat? You can apply the Word of God in lots of different ways, of course, and we have to be careful we do it rightly. What is your boat? I would just say this. It is whatever represents safety and security to you other than the Lord Himself. Your boat is whatever represents safety and security to you other than the Lord Himself. And so get out of the boat because it's not safe there either. The only safe place for the believer is the place of obedience to the Lord's command. So he got a yes from the Lord. He got out of the boat. Number three, after that, expect adversity. You know what was out there when Peter stepped out there? The same things that were out there before he stepped out there. There was wind and there was waves. And he stepped out and he walked on the water to go to Jesus, but there was adversity. And suddenly, he allowed the adversity to affect him in such a way as to also affect his faith and his trust in the Lord. There's winds and waves out here. Yes, there are. But you know what? The Lord was in the winds and the waves. The Lord was in the wind. And the Lord was in the waves. And that's why he could tell them that there was no need to be afraid. Expect adversity. Expect problems. If you step out in faith, And you're going to do something for the Lord, expect there to be difficulties. Expect you might be rejected by people that you can't believe they're acting that way toward you, or maybe ridicule. I know why you're doing that. I know why he's doing that or she's doing that. Listen, the Lord was familiar with all of those things in his work, and he is with you out on the water. He was with Peter in the wind and the waves. Expect adversity. By the way, there are problems in the boat too. There are problems there too. Life is filled with problems no matter what you do or fail to do. Whether you're in the boat or you're out of the boat, there's going to be problems. So why not step out in faith in obedience to the Word of God? You know what? Don't be a boat potato. You know what a couch potato is, right? Just don't be a boat potato. You sit around, you don't do anything. And everybody else does everything. And sometimes you wish, why don't I do something? Why don't you? Get a yes from the Lord and get out of your boat and allow God to use you. You'll expect adversity. Number four, I don't want to highlight this too much, and to say expect failure isn't really a good way of saying it, but failure isn't the end, because you're going to fail and you're going to stumble. Look at Peter. He goes out and he's walking on the water. I imagine, what were those other disciples thinking at that point? They're watching him walk on the water, and I imagine they go, oh, look at him. And then he starts to sink. And maybe now they're going, look at him, right? He's sinking.
He is, and there, and now look at the fool that he's made of himself. And he's beginning to sink, and as he begins to sink, he does the wisest thing a person can do. He cries out to the Lord, and he says, "Lord, save me." What did Jesus do? What a shame, Peter. I can't believe you didn't trust me. What a shame, Peter. Nice knowing you. See you in heaven. Bye-bye, Peter. As he's sinking in the water. No. What does the Bible say? Jesus immediately reached out his hand and he took hold of him. So Peter failed. Yeah. So what? So what? There are worse things than failure. You know what's worse? Being in the boat and never walking on water to begin with. And those other disciples could be laughing at Peter. I don't know that they were, but we're just using our imagination. They could be pointing their finger to look at Peter. What a fool he made of himself. And he could get back in the boat and he says, "You know, I know what it's like to walk on water. Do you?" Failure isn't final. And Peter would fail in the future. This wasn't his last failure. He would deny that he knew the Lord, right? And yet, who did God use so powerfully, even after that event? He stands up in Acts chapter 2, and he starts preaching to thousands of people. And the Bible says that 3,000 of them were saved. Failure isn't final. And God can use you again. Expect adversity, and yes, even expect failure. Because number five, failure is an opportunity to grow in our faith, in our trust of the Lord. We can look at it as an opportunity to learn and an opportunity to grow. That's what Jesus asked Peter when he pulls him up. He says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This is an opportunity to teach him about faith and trust in the Lord. And he confronts him with that fact. Now, confronting him with this lack of trust, I think this encouraged Peter that he could trust him in times of adversity, in times of difficulty. And, you know, I find it interesting, the Lord doesn't say all of this when they get back to the boat in front of the rest. It seems to me from the text, Jesus says this to Peter right away as he pulls him up. He says, "Why did you doubt? I'm right here." And then, I don't know that I can prove this 100%, but then it says, and they went to the boat. How do you think they went to the boat? You think the Lord Jesus was kind of like dragging Peter the whole way? He lifted him up, back on top of the water, and the two of them together go to the boat. I wonder if he walked on water again. And now he was able to do exactly what Jesus said. Don't doubt. Have faith. And the disciples would see them both walking on the water and getting into the boat. Failure is an opportunity to grow in our faith. Finally, the water is where the Lord is. The water out there, that's where the Lord is. He wasn't in the boat. And that's why Peter made a good decision to go to him. Jesus is not in the boat. Faith, trust, and risk all are a part of the normal Christian life. So trust him. And once you get his yes, get out of the boat. Trust his word. Expect adversity. You might fail here and there, but no failure is final. And it is all an opportunity to grow in your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Refuse to be a boat potato and walk on water for a change. Because as Larry Walter said, you can't just sit there. Do something for the Lord. Get his yes and move forward. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for this great story from the Word of God. And we're thankful for the practical lessons that are found within it. We're thankful, Lord, that we can look back to a moment in our lives when we entrusted our eternity to the Lord Jesus. We entrusted him with our soul, that he would save us, that he would take away our sins and bring us at last with him to heaven. And yet we know that the Christian life is one of constant faith and trust. We're thankful that we can never be lost, but we pray, Lord, that we will exhibit more and more faith, trust, obedience to our Lord Jesus and to our God and to his word. Bless these young people that are here. We're thankful for each one of them. We think of so many challenges that face them and opportunities that confront them. And we pray, Lord, that they may get guidance from the Word of God as to what they will do with their lives and step out in faith and be used in greater ways than any of us have. We pray, Lord, to bless our young people. We're thankful for them. And we pray, Lord, to continue to bless the weekend that we're spending together in the presence of the Lord and with the Word of God. We pray, Lord, to bless each and every one. We give thanks now for food and ask, Lord, your rich blessing upon us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Eric has, I think, an announcement or two.
Thank you, David. All right, everybody. We don't have any fish, but we do have some chicken. It comes from Chick-fil-A. So in a moment, we're going to ask you to get out of your seats instead of out of your boat and step in there and get it. So just one note for anybody who's going to the bonfire and you don't know where you're going. When you go through the line, ask Brianna. Hopefully everybody knows who that is. If you're not sure, just ask somebody here. So at this point, we'll ask everybody to make their way back to the cafeteria for some Chick-fil-A and some snacks, and y'all have a good night.